Today on Real Life Radio.
You and I need to watch out as we live our lives because the Bible tells us, Jesus warned us about deceivers in the last days. We don't want to hear this stuff, but it all plays into you and I discovering what our gifts are and how we are used in the body of Christ.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible.
In a time when our culture is increasingly hostile to the teachings of the Bible and the traditional values they impart, Christians face the challenge of being labeled intolerant, offensive, and homophobic. How can we approach controversial topics with both reason and tact? In Correct, Not Politically Correct, author Frank Turek tackles the sensitive topics of same-sex marriage and transgenderism, addressing common arguments about equal rights, discrimination, tolerance, and being born a certain way. This powerful and insightful book firmly yet respectfully defends biblical truth about sexual identity, marriage, and gender. Don't bury your head in the sand, but learn to stand with a biblical worldview. You can receive Correct, Not Politically Correct, when you make a gift of any amount to the Ministry of Real Life today. Visit jackhibbs.com or call 877-777-2346. Order now.
On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called 1 Corinthians with a message titled, What Makes a Church Relevant, Part 2. 1 Corinthians was written by the Apostle Paul to the Church of God in Corinth, and Paul shares with us how God builds his church. You see, historically, the church has been the greatest power on the face of the earth, but there is a great temptation these days to just do church without real influence from God. Just because a church is called a church, it doesn't really make it a church unless there's clear evidence that Jesus Christ is preached there and that the Holy Spirit is at work among the people. Now, with his message called What Makes a Church Relevant, Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
We are looking at really what is now Part 2 of probably a series that we're going to be embarking upon. And it wasn't intended that way, but it is going to turn out to be that way in the sense that we're going to be looking at a very, very key portion of Scripture. And I warned you last time together that we would probably be looking at this over the course of a couple of months. And you might say, oh my goodness, Jack, just a few weeks ago, you promised that we would go through this book faster. Apparently, I didn't know what I was saying at the time, or I was lying. I don't know. But this is too important to fly by because it matters how the rest of this church will function. And listen, church, personally, today I want to talk to you about that. I'm hoping that you guys, and look, you're at an advantage. This is first service. This is the smallest gathering of anyone who attends this church. Second and third service, forget about it. Wednesday nights, forget about it. First service, this is like a little home Bible study right here. And for all of us, and just in this service alone, if we pay close attention to what Paul is teaching the church at Corinth, we're going to do really good. And here's the reason why. God is not interested in spectator Christianity. The Holy Spirit's job is to activate every believer to live their life for Christ in that place of Christian duty that he has placed upon your heart, my heart. It's how God builds his church in the earth, and it is exciting. For many people today, there's a lot of baggage and a lot of wounds that you're going to have to get over if you're going to have or let God have full reign of your life, because maybe you've come from a church, or maybe I know I've met many people who've come to this church now having come in out of a cult, and you have come here and you've come to know Christ. And so when you hear somebody say, well, we've got some weeks or months ahead of us that's going to show us how to serve Christ and to serve one another, for many people that's a bad taste. I can thank God right now, and I praise the Lord that I've never known any bad experience. I was born and raised at Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa. I saw the ministry witness of my pastor, and I'm delighted over that. But that's not the case for everybody. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, I'll read through it as we were together last time going through this, and we'll pick up where we left off. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning at verse 1. You can follow along with me. I'll read the entire context of what we're looking at. Paul says to them, now concerning spirituals or spiritual gifts. The word gifts you see in your Bible is italicized because the word doesn't apply. Spirituals are gifts. I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are diversities of gifts, verse 4 tells us, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one, that is to one of us here in this room, to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. Notice it's capital S, that's the Holy Spirit. Verse 9, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings, plural, by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the discerning of spirits, that is of angelic or demonic spirits, lowercase s, speaks of other spiritual entities. To another, different kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. Verse 11, but the one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. For as the body is one, that is, the church is one, and has many members, that's each of us, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free. We have all been made to drink into one Spirit. This 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians takes us on into the practical functions of being a church and doing church. And that is critical for us as a body of believers. Historically, the church, listen, historically, the church has been the greatest force on the face of the earth. And I mean that literally. You say, well, Jack, you got to be kidding me. More powerful than the British Empire, more powerful than the Soviet Empire, more powerful than China or America. Listen, those are apples to oranges. I'm talking about altogether different, altogether powerful. The church is empowered by the Holy Spirit, based upon the truth that is the Bible, the Word of God. Listen, I'll prove the point right now. The church is the most powerful entity on the face of the earth when it decides to stick to the Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit, because nations like China will outlaw biblical Christianity. Why? Because they fear one great thing. Church, does China fear a nuclear attack from Christians? No. Does China or did Russia fear some sort of massive military coup by Christians? No. You know what the greatest fear of a despotic nation on the face of the earth is? It is the fact that wherever the gospel goes, truth and liberty comes. When I say liberty, the setting free of people who have been held captive. Didn't Jesus say that he had come to set at liberty those that are bound? And the greatest fear of a tyrannical rule is when somebody lays hold of the gospel and is set free by its truth and then is empowered by the Holy Spirit. You want to know why? People begin to think for themselves. People begin to be creative. People begin to care. People begin to love. Everyone enjoys the benefits of biblical Christianity. Hands down, it is the most generous faith on the planet. But very few people will allow it to let it go loose, to let it run. And I want to say something today and throughout this message. It's one thing if Russia or China would resist us from letting the gospel go among their population. It's an altogether horrific thing when a church hinders the work of the Holy Spirit. It's a tragic thing when the church holds back truth that can set people free. And so as we look to the things that Paul is speaking about, we're talking about believers being absolutely set free to live the life that Christ has ordained for them. And this is all powerful, in my opinion. There's a great temptation in these days of ours to do church using human ingenuity or manly power, as I'll put it. And that's a very careful thing. You and I need to watch out as we live our lives, because the Bible tells us, Jesus warned us about deceivers in the last days. We don't want to hear this stuff, but it all plays into you and I discovering what our gifts are and how we are used in the body of Christ. Jesus said, the Bible says in Matthew 24:4, Jesus spoke and said, "Take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and they will deceive many." Isn't that interesting? When the disciples asked Jesus, "What will be the sign of your coming, the end of the world and the end of the age?" Jesus said, "All right, number one thing, watch out, nobody deceives you." Christian, listen, if you've already fallen asleep this morning, somebody needs to give a rib shot to that believer today. The number one thing that you and I need to be careful about is deception. And by nature, deception is not easy to detect. Deception is cloaked in Christianese. Deception looks like a believer. The dangers lie in pulpits that are very, very exciting, very fantastic, and very cool and hip necessarily. But there's no power by the Holy Spirit. And we can be easily deceived. Jesus warned about this. So every one of us must be faithful to pass what I would say biblical judgment on what is being presented in these last days in the name of Jesus and for what is called church. And just because it's called a church, by the way, my friend, does not make it a church unless there's clear evidence that Jesus Christ is being glorified by being at the helm of that church and that the Holy Spirit is free to work. We as believers must determine today, as we continue on in Corinthians, I will, that is, I determine to open up my life to the full influence of the Holy Spirit. Now, some of you have been brought up in some very hyper-Pentecostal backgrounds, and I understand that. And you would say, "Jack, I got burned so bad. I was told, for example, if I didn't speak in tongues, that I wasn't going to heaven." That's bad doctrine. That's not biblical. "Oh, Pastor, I was told if I didn't have money coming down from heaven into my bank account, then God didn't love me." Bad doctrine. "I was told if I got sick, God didn't love me." Bad doctrine. "I was told that if I didn't do this or do that for God, that I somehow was some sort of second-rate child of God." Bad doctrine. We must stick to the Bible like never before. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, it says, "But know this, that there will be perilous times in the last days." The word perilous means to wear down, like a carpenter would use a plane on a piece of wood. The believers will be worn down in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents. Oh my goodness. Ungrateful, unholy, without love, unloving or unforgiving, I should say, slanderous, without self-control. Do we not live in an age that has no self-control? Brutal, not lovers of the good or what is good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Here it is. Listen, he's going to tell us in verse 5, it all happens in a church. Having the form of godliness, but denying its power. Paul told Timothy, have nothing to do with them. Very strong words.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
The evidence of God's stamp upon a church will be, mark it down if you care, love, truth, unity, power, and the presence of those things will result in lives being transformed, people being changed. Listen, don't raise your hand, but has your life changed as you study the Word of God? I pray, it is my prayer, that if you've made this your church in recent months or years, that your life has been changed and you've grown because of the time we spend in the Word of God, in the Bible together, the power of God's Word. Lives will be transformed. This is all critical. And this is all introduction. So Don't worry, I know what time it is. The Bible says in Romans 8:14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, that's the Holy Spirit, are the sons of God. What a great verse that is. So listen, has God given us all that we need to be involved in a church in these last days? And I asked you that last time together, and the answer is an overwhelming yes. God has given us everything we need to have a healthy, vibrant, strong, influential, I mean that in a godly way, culture-shaping church, a church that raises up disciples. Yes, he has provided all those things. So the natural question would be, well, then why are so many churches, or why am I so weak? It's not God's fault. It's not God's lack. It is us. And we need to dive in word by word into these chapters, chapters 12, 13, and 14. One more verse to write down before we get into this. The Bible says in Acts chapter 1, beginning at verse 4, that as the disciples were gathered together, as Jesus commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which Jesus said, you've heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Verse 6, therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. I love verse 8. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. The power of God's word and spirit at work in our lives. And you say, well, Pastor, I want this to happen in my life. Okay. In verses 1 to 2, we looked at this last time, and we asked this question, what makes the church relevant? In verses 1 to 2, we learned this, that as Christians, we understand there's a new life. We've been changed. We're not just doing church. We have become the church. God the Holy Spirit, the moment you accepted Christ, God the Holy Spirit moved inside of your life. Listen, this is critical today. If you are here today and you are thinking that you're a believer, you're assuming you're a believer, ask yourself why. Say, well, because my mom and dad were believers. That doesn't make you a believer. We have an understanding that there's a new life. Do you have a new life? Well, I've just kind of always been a Christian. Now, I have to tell you something right now, and I can say this because she's not here. That's my wife. She'll be here next service. My conversion to Jesus was radical. I didn't have a Christian upbringing. When I met Jesus Christ, my life changed that night. Like that. My wife, Lisa, grew up in a Christian home. I can tell you the day, I can tell you within a half an hour of that day when I got saved. She cannot. She grew up in a Christian home. She always knew about Jesus. And I remember years ago her saying to me, I wish I had a testimony like you do. And I said, really? I wish I had one like you do. Your life displays the constant protection and constant oversight of the Holy Spirit in your life. He has raised you up all along the way and kept you from disaster. I didn't have that. Maybe you're here today and you didn't have that protection. But you grew up in a Christian home, and you know that you have a new life in Christ. You know today that you could not walk away from Jesus. Why is that true? Because the Holy Spirit is in you. But someone might be here today, and they might say, well, I grew up in a very religious home, and I'm a very moral person. By the way, this is how it manifests itself when you are a religious person without God. You are very moral. You are very comfortable in church. You enjoy being around Christians. But you do not see the great, great necessity of your own saving. You're pretty doggone good is how you would put it. You look at other people and you might say, well, boy, they need Jesus, don't they? And there's something missing in your life. Number one thing that you need to do, and by the end of this message today, I want to have a time of the true believer settling this in their heart and the religious believer making that decision once and for all. It's critical. It is more important for me over the course of these next several weeks or this month to make sure that we lay the right foundations for you to be a dynamic believer than for us to just rush over this and this church suffers at large. We need you. Did you know that? You need us. We're the body of Christ together. And this is very, very important. We saw this about this new life that we understand. Two important things. Number one, it's a new life that's come from heaven. It's come from heaven. Number two, we learned this, that it's a new life of knowing the truth. You know that your destination's in heaven and that your citizenship is in heaven, and you also know the truth. The truth has set you free. And that's vitally important. Point number two, last time, what makes a church relevant was found in verse 3. As Christians, we recognize there's a new cause. You and I have a new cause. We have a new reason for living. And we saw this in verse 3, that our new cause is to reject the false. In verse 3, when he says, therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed. Do you guys remember what that meant? It meant this, that nobody could say that Jesus is accursed, meaning that no one by the Spirit of God who dwells in them can devalue the Lordship of Jesus Christ. If today you are one who says Jesus is great, Jesus is fantastic, Jesus is spectacular, Jesus is one of the enlightened ones, he's the greatest or one of the greatest prophets that's ever lived, you are cursing Jesus Christ. Isn't that amazing? Jesus Christ is the Lord God. He's the Savior of the world. The Bible tells us that he's not like someone. The Bible tells us he's it. Amen. He's the one and only. And we mentioned last time together, you can click online if you want to find out more about it, how Jesus of Christianity is not the Jesus of Islam or the Jesus of Mormonism or the Jesus of the Watchtower or the Jesuses of Buddhism or anything else. He's not devalued. He's not one among many. The truth is also this, that he is Lord. We not only reject the false, but we exalt the truth. We saw that in verse 3. That's our new cause for living. And so now, church, here we go. We pick it up where we left off last time. It's our third point. It's in verses 4 to 6. And here it is. Verses 4 to 6, look at verse 4. It says there that there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. What do we mean? As Christians, we know there's a new direction that we're all taking. We are like a ship on the open sea as a church. And we're going, all of us, we should be anyway, in the same direction. Can I be blunt? If you're church shopping, try this. I'm dead serious. If you're church shopping and you're visiting today, whatever church you visit, even if today's your first visit to this church on your first journey of looking for a new home church, go to that church 4 times in a row and then leave it, unless God tells you otherwise, leave it. Go to the next place. And how long should you stay when you visit the next church? Anybody? 4 times, faithfully. That means 4 times in a row, once every week. Not once a month. Go, pray, ask God to speak to you. Lord, what church do you want me to be at? Why? Because the church that you go to is a church that you are to grow in, you are to develop in. Why? Because the gift or gifts of the Spirit of God are to come up and out of your life. And if you've been in a church and that's not happening, then you've been some dead skin in that church. Do you realize that if you show up to a service where the Bible is going out and you're not growing, something is very, very wrong? This is very critical.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio with his message called What Makes a Church Relevant, Part 2. We're glad you took the time to be with us today. You know, this message is part of Pastor Jack's series called 1 Corinthians. It's a series on the Corinthian church and the Apostle Paul's bold call for purity. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. Did you know that epidemics are not always physical in nature? The most widespread epidemic that has taken over the world is not found in a lab. It's found in the disparity of the soul. Loneliness has swept the earth. People are overcome with despair more than ever before. Our heart longs for relationships, but many times we look for it in all the wrong places. There's really only one thing that can satisfy the soul, and that's having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and to meet with Him on a daily basis. Now, whether you're alone in your room or in a crowded coffee shop with your phone, your laptop, and latte, you really can find comfort and peace through God's Word and with Pastor Jack's devotions. New devotions written by Pastor Jack are uploaded on a weekly basis, but previous devotions are right there for you to check out at jackhibbs.com. Easy to find at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.